Two pros and a cup of Joe, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. And coming up on the show, we're going to take a look back at a dominant performance by the Arizona Cardinals yet again. Not only are they the team to beat in the NFC, but could they be the team to beat in the entire league? We'll discuss that. We're also going to take a closer look at the Baltimore Ravens, their dominant performance against the LA Chargers. Is there problems for Justin Herbert and company? What do we do with Lamar Jackson and his future moving forward? Bill Belichick suffers another close loss. How do we reevaluate the Belichick-Brady saga moving forward? We're also going to debut a brand new feature on the show in case you missed it. And if you are feeling a little bit down about some stuff that happened over the weekend, don't worry. We got you covered. Stick around. We're going to have it and fill it in for you here next on FSR. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. The Monday edition is yours right here on FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You talk about another statement being made in the NFL. We will get into it here. Coming up in just a couple of moments from now, it is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app.
Who wants to know?
You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates. Wherever you are making us a part of your Monday morning, we appreciate you doing so. We will take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time. 6 o'clock Pacific right here on FSR. And guys, we have got a wild show planned.
I guess that's why I came in hot. I mean,
nothing wrong with coming in hot.
The NFL got me hot today. Came in real warm. So, you know what? College football did too.
Yeah.
I was going to say, can I be the yin to your yang?
Yes.
Because I'll put it this way. We've had, was it 13 games played? Is that right?
Is it 13?
13 in the NFL? Yeah, because a couple of teams are on the bye, I believe.
Yeah,
so,
you got the Falcons, Saints, Jets, 49ers on a bye.
Yeah.
So 13 games have been played already. Still got Monday Night Football.
Still got Monday.
8 of the 13 were decided by 10 or more points.
Yeah.
All right? And so the average margin of victory in the NFL is like 3 or 4 points on average. 8 of the 13 were decided by double digits or more. I mean, some of them weren't even freaking competitive. It was just boring. And then you have another 3 that were decided outside of that 3 to 4 point margin of victory. I would venture to say, like this past weekend, week 6 in the NFL, displayed the disparity, if you will, in the NFL. I thought it was a stinky week of football.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. I mean,
I'm calling it how it is. Like, tell me what game. I mean, I'm actually kind of looking forward to tonight's game. But, I mean, Arizona, Cleveland, I was excited about. Wasn't a ball game.
It was.
I mean, it really wasn't a ball game. Like, the only thing that even allowed Cleveland to be in that game was a Hail Mary. Yeah. This was a crappy, crappy weekend of football. I'm sorry.
See, by the way, I felt the opposite. I loved it.
Well, it was entertaining.
I mean, a nice massacre here and there. I mean, I don't like parody every once in a while. I like a nice little ass whipping to take
place.
You had
a lot of them.
Hey, man.
Yes, we did.
Arizona's legit, dude. That team. That's multiple times this year where they've gone on the road and made a statement and exposed somebody.
They ain't even had their head coach, man. They said, we're going to break out this behind the shed ass whipping. And we're not even going, we're going to let our head coach rest and sleep it off while we come handle y'all and woodshed you in your own spot.
They look fantastic, man. I think that team's a problem for anybody in the NFC right now.
Well, they've proven it. I mean, there's no way of getting around that. I mean, they're taking on all comers. And I thought for certain that the Browns would catch them. This was a trap game for them.
Right.
I really did. And this was an opportunity for the Browns to show people that, well, maybe they're not fool's gold. And now I think you're left with more questions about the Browns than you do answers. I mean, I think we know what we know about Arizona. If they stay healthy, and heck, they didn't even have everybody. They get healthy and stay healthy. They're a dangerous team. But what are the Browns? What are they? It's like I sent you guys a message last night, right? And it's like the Steelers are the Steelers.
The Steelers.
They are. The Steelers are the Steelers. You know what I mean? They are who they are. They are who we think they are.
Steelers? Hey, not we are, they are.
They are. You know, right. I wish I could say we are as a Pittsburgh Steeler. But the idea of it is that I don't know. I now find myself having the question again. And then you have the injuries that take place with Cleveland, with one of the backs. You know, it's just one of those things to me. You start biting your fingernails off if you're a Cleveland Browns fan because you don't know what you're going to get. And that's vintage Cleveland, right?
I hate to co-sign this because I am a Cleveland guy, born and raised a fan, drafted to them, always pull for them. To your point, I do think I came away from this game maybe, you know, feeling like the Arizona Cardinals are now certified as maybe the best team in the NFC. I don't know. The Bucs probably have something to say about that. The Bills get to play tonight if you want to make an argument for them to be the best team in the NFL. But I came away with more questions about the Browns. And because Nick Chubb wasn't playing, because Kareem Hunt ended up getting hurt, leaving the game at some point in time, and they kind of got into that mode where they had to throw a bunch or they were going to have to throw a bunch in order to win this game.
That's not how it works for them.
And yeah, and it almost, I think all those Baker Mayfield detractors could come out and kind of feast on this. Mm. Like, I feel like they could come out and they could make that case and feast on him right now of why he's not deserving of a second contract or why they haven't arrived yet, why you can't trust this team. To your point, you know, we were viewing the Browns as, oh, they're a playoff team. It's a playoff team now after last year. Well, now they sit at 3-3. And so do the Steelers,
yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And the Ravens are the best team in that division.
And the Ravens are the best team.
And I'm not so sure the Bengals aren't the second best team.
And yeah. I'm not so sure the Bengals aren't the second best team. Wow.
Yeah, Cleveland might be the worst team in the division.
I mean.
Think about that.
But is it fool's gold or is it not? You know, well, and that's the thing that you don't know. They could go either way.
I'm heartbroken.
Well, look,
but they still could go either way. It could go either way. It's just sad that they're so gifted and
they've got
so
a decision
good.
To make, right?
Yeah.
Like they're on one of those streets. You know, they're looking down. They could go to a couple different types of bars, and it could go either way. You know,
it could.
They could walk in wherever they want.
They could be like, you know? Jonas, or they could be like the O Brothers. I mean, it could go either way, man.
So the one thing that people always talk about when it comes to the Browns, the two-headed monster, you got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and they're really the secret to the success.
That's the key.
They're not there. Now we get to see sort of what's going on with Baker Mayfield. Do you buy that he is limited, Brady, with the shoulder injury? It's non-throwing.
It's the non-throwing one.
Yeah,
I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I mean, maybe a little bit to a degree, but I don't know. I mean, it's hard only because I've dealt with it on my throwing shoulder. Like, I had to play through a season having a posterior labrum tear, had to go get injections and all that afterwards, you know, looked at surgery, but there's really not a ton you could do until you can really jack it up to a certain point. You know, you'd like to avoid surgery at all costs. Throwing shoulder, non-throwing shoulder, whatever the case may be. But I just try to get it injected and play through it. So I look at it and say it's not even his throwing shoulder, and everyone's playing banged up at this point in time of the season. You know, I'm not sure you can make that argument. I mean, maybe you want to give him a week off or something, or a couple weeks off, see if rest will help reduce inflammation. Maybe that helps. Maybe you have him go out there on the field before the game and walk through a bunch of, you know, plays, you know, maybe go through like a 2-minute drive and do a bunch of plays out there on the field by himself.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And see if you can get some
tape.
And run the whole entire game through your head.
Yeah.
Audibles,
all that.
And make sure to talk to your receivers, your running backs.
Well, I mean, isn't that something J.J. Watt would do as a defensive player?
That's a great point. And also,
I mean, we're talking about the Browns Cardinals.
Yeah, if it does go to overtime, make sure that you're out there to determine whether or not you want to receive the ball or determine if you guys win the flip, whether you want to receive the football there. Just let everybody know that you're out there to let them be known. I'm the leader of this team, even if you're not playing and you're out for several weeks and you got a cast on your hand.
And then y'all went and lost.
Yeah.
And overtime. And you had the ball first.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's a bummer. Yeah.
TJ Watt, by the way, JJ Watt, who
it's a bad dude.
You were impersonating and you were mimicking what JJ did, and then his brother came out and assassinated your backup.
By the way, did Russ really think he was going to get 10 minutes into this show today without getting a little bit of heat for that?
I mean, come on, man.
Hey,
some people, they would sit there and say, "What's wrong with this dude, man?" It's just funny how we pick and choose what we want. Like somebody else, like if that's like if it's a known somebody else, they're like, "This dude's crazy.
He just tries too hard.
He's bat ass crazy. Like, what is he doing right now? Like,
here's all I'll say to this is I always felt as a player in the NFL, if you wanted to train or practice and not necessarily be seen, you could. Like, he could have gotten there extra early and done that before anyone's there, the camera crew's there, all that. He could have done that, but he didn't.
And
that's where it's always like, then that means you're doing it for a reason. Then you want people to see. You want to let them know, right? And that's where it always rubbed me the wrong way. And whether it's Russ or J.J. Watt or any other player, I'm just like – if it's not genuine and you're doing it for another thing, like that's what rubs me the wrong way.
I'm just going to stay here while the lights go out and side of the stadium and do pass rush moves on the goalpost because you know what? That's what – I mean, dude is a beast, though. I ain't going to lie. I ain't going to hold JJ. He is a beast. And maybe those are the little things that the guys like myself, you know, maybe yourself, Brady, we just didn't know. I mean, I thought I did a lot of extra work that didn't show up on the cameras, as you mentioned, or in the interviews, but I've never been a defensive player of the year either. So
all I'll say is this:
Russ.
Trust me, there was never a second where I look back and go, I wish I would have worked harder. There's never a second I ever feel that way about my career. That was never the case.
I felt that way one time. I think it was my freshman year, and I just wish I could have had that performance back. Yeah, I wish I would have worked harder and was prepared for that moment. And it came and it went, and we never spoke again. And I just had to go on with my life and make sure that the next time I would never, ever be unprepared to be big enough for the moment.
I needed my O brother because I probably could have used a little bit more chill pill, right? Or slapping around with Jonas because I was like I cared too much. It was like I couldn't play with that like carefree ability. Like I needed to be around a slappy like Jonas.
Just to lighten the mood a little bit.
My stuff went way over y'all's head just now. Y'all wasn't with me.
I also think
in college and she never spoke to me ever again. Y'all was never with me. I never had a problem with preparing for football. I just kind of started dealing with girls that looked way better than what I grew up being around.
It's real on those streets.
It got real for me, I'll tell you what.
I just think it is important, though. Lesson be learned. The next time you guys do deal with an injury, I know you've got a couple of issues that pop up here or there. Just make sure that you rehab those injuries while everybody's watching in a primetime game. Like that's the most important
thing. But that wasn't him even rehabbing an injury.
Well, just showing that, he's trying to get his body, keep his body still, in quality shape.
I mean, I ain't going to hate on him, but, man, I really want to hate on him.
Yeah, it's a tool move. All right, let's just call it what it is. It's a tool move. He's Mr. Team Leader. He's all about the team. It's not about Russ. That's garbage. You can close the coffin on it. It's dead. That reputation is gone. And maybe this is why a lot of the guys from the Legion of Boom didn't buy the crap years ago when it was being floated out there. How's that?
Wow.
How about that, huh?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, we came in hot. I didn't even think we were going to talk about Seattle.
You got to understand Jonas's perspective, though, because he's had experiences where he's been working hard, and he does it behind closed doors. No one sees it all the time. Yeah. I mean, think about it.
Like,
that's true.
I'm being real right now.
That is true.
Because if you don't know Jonas's story, you don't understand that. Like he, by the way, I feel like I'm being Brian Fenley right now.
Hey,
hey,
hey! Isn't that Berto's people?
No, but he started in Charleston working overnight? Or it was an early morning shift.
Early morning. Overnight was the dishwasher job I had for a
exactly.
while.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is he worked behind the scenes to get to where he is today. He put on a Chuck E. Cheese outfit where no one knew it was him.
Yeah.
But he was there working.
That's a good
like
point.
Jonas has worked behind the
but
scenes.
So did Russell
hard.
Wilson. See, what we got to figure out.
Really,
hold on.
Though?
Here's what we got.
I was there with him now.
Hey, Brady.
Like, trust me.
Hey, Brady, here's what we got to figure out about Jonas now is will he start doing radio shows in the middle of Sherman Oaks or in Thousand
yeah.
Oaks?
See?
See, how is he going? Because from all accounts I've been given, Russell Wilson was a good dude until he turned into a dude. And then all of a sudden, this whole other thing that has taken shape. See, I believe we have to figure out what Jonas is
yeah.
now. If
Ooh.
Jonas can't do the show, will Jonas be doing the show in his car in front of everybody to see? Will he park in front of the studio with his hazards on and do a walkthrough in his head of the show in his car?
Well listen, I can assure you that Jonas Knox is not changing because of everything, all the stuff that's going on with this show.
Some people
Jonas
change.
Knox, listen, Jonas Knox believes that you know, just because this show has taken off, he's not going to sit here
hey,
and
man,
you know, turn it.
He's still
right.
doing his doing his overnights.
Yeah, still,
Jay Knox is.
Still firing away.
He's still doing those.
Things change, though.
Yeah, there is no diva here with Jonas
I'm
Knox.
Just
Jonas
saying.
Knox refuses.
Some call him
to,
Jay Knox.
Yeah, refuses
you know,
to take that
if you're really, if you continue to be really good at what you're doing, you just might hit a different stride.
Just,
you know,
like do that stuff anywhere. You could do that in a ballroom at the hotel. Like it just like come on, man. It's a bunch of crap. All right, it is two pros.
He's trying to be an example to the youth of today, man.
Yeah,
like
totally.
Get off of your butt if you're even if you're hurt. Get on one knee and run through the plays.
Yeah.
And mentally be prepared.
Yeah.
Be a good, sound, strong, God-fearing young man. And that's all he's trying to do is make sure that you can see the perfection of what a model citizen is supposed to look like and how they're supposed to conduct themselves.
Agreed. And if things don't go your way, try and force a trade and leak it to the media and then deny it afterwards.
Or you do get your way and you get your trade and you forget all about the Bible and all being a model citizen. Hey, baby, we going to bed tonight. We got a deal, Seattle.
We got a deal, Seattle.
Hey. Pass me a left-handed cigarette.
Hey, we can go to sleep.
Y'all got to go to bed.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
That don't sound real Christian-like to me. I'm just being honest.
It's time for y'all to go to bed.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, no. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Let me touch it with my hand, Sierra.
Mr. Unlimited. You got to be unlimited.
As the in-laws would say, Dios mío. By the way, we are brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. It is two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, coming up next, talk about a beating. This was projected to be one of the great games of the regular season, and one team showed up. We will get into all of that for you next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, could you picture, though, LeVar in a squat rack just getting after this?
100%. By the way, I was trying to see who was going to have the balls to try and sing this one this early in the morning. Because this is an octave.
I don't know the words, though. I just know Highway to Hell. That's it.
Well, you know the chorus, though.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the chorus.
Yeah.
Everyone's been there.
That's a good point, though, Brady. I could see LeVar, you know, like doing curls.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, so we're after you're done with squats, go hit the showers. And LeVar's like, nah, man, I got to walk around for a little bit. So there he is.
This is Ozzy, right? Is this Ozzy?
No.
AC/DC.
How dare you? Roberto hit it. Roberto, can you hit it, please?
Is it racist?
Hit it, Roberto.
Is it racist?
Yeah, damn right it is.
Racist.
My apologies.
Is that racist?
Yeah,
How's that racist?
Because basically, I just said all of them sound the same.
Racist.
Oh, I see what you said.
You
there.
Did.
Okay, now
you
I get
actually
it.
Did yeah. do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, welcome aboard.
I'm sure racist. Not too many people will be offended by that. How about that?
Our first racist drop of the morning.
Well, speaking of what people are or are not offended by, did you guys see what the NFL did Friday night? Did Uh-oh. You guys see the little trick they pulled Friday night?
Tell me. Expose it.
Well, you know, they like to do news dumps, right? They call it a news dump where they try to hide something that was reported.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And one of the best ways of hiding something that, you know, maybe you want to be covered up by a Saturday of college football and a Sunday of NFL football and maybe Monday night football. Something you do, okay, is you just push something out to the Associated Press late at night on a Friday night that somehow of the 650,000 emails that the NFL had sorted through and investigated with the Washington football team, John Gruden is the only thing they found yeah. from that report.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I'm still like trying to figure that one out.
It's amazing.
I'm not trying to figure it out. It's a full-blown, there's more to this. This is some...
Of course.
There's just some BS, man.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Man, the NFL got away with that one because they dropped it on a Friday. Oh, don't worry. Here on the weekend overnights, they got a battle axe from yours truly there because it is a bunch of crap. It's the NFL that thinks people are idiots, and they actually buy into this theory or notion that there's no other 650,000 emails. And they figured out the only two that were offensive in nature. That organization's reputation, all of that, and they found the only two or three correspondents involving John Gruden. And of the 650,000, the other 649,997 were squeaky clean.
Is that the rabbit hole we're going down at 328?
I mean,
628?
Well, listen, you know, it's
we,
fair.
We don't have to go
Anybody's
down a rabbit
fair play.
Hole. Let's just call what it is, man. It's some BS.
They're full
There's
of crap.
There's way more to this.
Yes.
And, yeah.
I'm just glad you guys are doing it because if I'm doing it, I'm a disgruntled former player that's like, oh, you want to see them go down.
But it's not
You want to see them burn.
It's not even the Washington football team that you want to see go down. It's the hypocrisy of the NFL.
Oof.
Like, they want to act like they care, and then they turn their back or they treat an identical situation or they treat something else different. And they hide under the guise of, well, every situation is unique. And it's like, well, yeah, but didn't you come up with a standard protocol and way you were handling any sort of domestic violence? Like, do you remember how they're like, oh, automatic 6-game suspension? But, you know, that's only in certain cases. Like, it's the hypocrisy of the NFL and the initiatives that they push in one way and they talk out of the other side of the mouth. That's what frustrates me about it, no matter what we're talking about, whether it's officiating, whether it's gambling, whether it's off-the-field issues with players or this sort of thing. It's just the whole thing. They're just one big giant hypocrite. That's what it is right now.
This is the best part about all of it. We got more about what was going on behind the scenes in regards to Tom Brady taking air out of a football than we did the 650,000 emails that they've tried to keep private and keep a secret unless they wanted to drop one on Monday Night Football to make it seem like they got the culprit and everything squeaky clean.
It's a
bunch of crap.
Here's what people have to understand about this is the amount of detailed logging in an investigation that needed to take place.
Like,
at what point, I wonder what page were those emails with John Gruden?
Right.
What number was that? Where was that hidden in all of this? Right. And then that's probably one of the biggest questions is where in all of those emails that were used for an investigation.
Page 2, and they're like, well, we don't need to
read it's
the
right
rest.
There. We haven't even had to go any further, right?
Yeah, that'll be enough. That'll do.
Were they all together? Were these all one line of correspondence? Like, you know what I mean? And then the next question you got to ask yourself, honestly, because we kind of breezed over, like, the nude pictures and stuff like that. Like, now you got to ask yourself the question. What is worse than what it is that we uncovered on John Gruden? What's worse because there's worse.
Yes.
There is worse. You can bet the bank on it that is not the most vile of things that were in those emails and those correspondence. So and as far as what you're saying, Brady, now the question becomes, if you have to look at what's worse in these emails, then what is the punishment? What is the course of action? What is the protocol? Because John Gruden had to leave. Like, he had to leave. And for all intents and purposes, he's ruined. Like, that has ruined. That's career suicide. He's ruined. He'll be able to do certain things. People that won't subscribe to what happened will still be proponents of John Gruden, and he can teach or coach whatever.
To your point, think about this. Let's say LeVar Arrington's having a celebrity golf outing. If John Gruden wants to come, can you advertise he's going to be there? Can you advertise anything? Like,
I have to get his sign off on it, right? Somebody's name.
But by the way, it was not even just that. I'm not saying about the sign off. I'm saying, like, other people around you, LeVar,
your
are going to
say. Your sponsors would complain.
The sponsors would. Your boys would.
Oh, yeah.
There might be some people who are offended by this. Like, something even as simple as that, like, is it changes the dynamics of everything. So I just. That's the first thing that kind of bothers me about it. But you know what the problem is? Is Roger Goodell isn't going to try to, like, this was like a one-off instance where it obviously impacts the Raiders, but with the Washington football team, like, they're like, all right, nothing to see here, moving on. And you're not going to get a big tumultuous or some sort of, greater investigation in all of this, because Roger Goodell works for all these owners. I mean, that's the reality of it. And I don't think all these owners want a league-wide investigation into their correspondence. I mean, think about just with one team, 650,000 emails. Think about if you multiply that by 32 or 31 other teams that now you're sorting through to ensure their conduct and communication is above board.
And I think that's the point. You're making the very point that this whole entire situation has drugged the National Football League into, because whether it happens or not, if you have any ounce of common sense, you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be this super, super, super smart rocket scientist or open heart surgeon. It takes common sense to come up with the conclusion you just came up with, Brady. Why, if this is what's going to happen to John Gruden, then why is it start and stop there? Why does it start and stop there?
And here's how you know that there's something worse in there than what happened with John Gruden, because they won't release it. That's how you know something was worse. And also, if you noticed, you've got all these people coming out wanting the other emails released. You've got Derek Carr. You've got players. You've got organizations. You've got the NFLPA. You've got the media. You know who's not saying, hey, release the other emails? NFL owners.
I'm telling you. NFL
owners are like, big game's on Sunday. What are you guys thinking? We'll give a promotion away, and we'll retire a jersey on 2 days' notice. Yeah, NFL owners want no part of this.
There are parties being discussed in there. There are gatherings and get-togethers being discussed in there. There's players that they like, that they don't like being discussed in there. There are ways to get rid of the players that it's being discussed in there.
Well, think about that time frame too. Colin Kaepernick. I don't think anyone would have talked about it over a team email to a lot. Maybe they did. I have no idea, but that drums up that whole conversation. Like, we get to actually see the truth of what was said at that point in time. Who knows if it's about domestic violence and situations like Ray Rice or Greg Hardy or any other player that was a part of all that, right?
Like, and what is the – like, that? See, that's the thing. Now you're going down – we're going down that rabbit hole. And I told y'all last week, that rabbit hole leads to Wonderland. There isn't a dirt bottom. You're not going to just keep falling, dirt. Nope. Whole new world. You done fell into a whole entirely different world. In fact, you can look for the Wizard of Oz in Wonderland, because it all comes together and it all meets at the end of this rabbit hole. Whatever it is you think it is, that golden brick road, whatever it is that's behind in the castle where the wizard is actually pedaling and squeaking horns and stuff like, whatever it is you thought it was, it's there. And there's more. And there's more. Because you know what that, you know what those emails being released made me really understand and realize? For all these years, you try to dissect and understand how things happen the way that they happen or why they happen the way that they do. And then you realize that you're actually thinking on a much higher level and trying to figure something else out than what it really truly is. Those emails said to me, these are some simple dudes having simple conversations. Simple. That's simple-minded stuff. And those messages, you want to accuse them of being something? This is what you accuse them of being on. A simpleton. That's a right. Those are simpletons. And so now you're talking about these guys are making decisions. This guy is making a decision for the front office of the Washington football team. This guy is the owner of the Washington football team. This guy runs something. This guy runs something. And they're all simpletons. Which means if you're a simpleton, you're not having high-level conversations. The things that we would read in those, it'd be like A, B, C, easy as 1, 2, 3, do, re, mi. Like, what the F is this?
But they're owners. What do you mean? I mean, these are the owners of the team.
And I think that if you expose how simple these guys really are, because, you know, one thing that I learned growing up, just super quick, is back when I was growing up, to see somebody famous, to see somebody popular, to be exposed to that was like a life changer. It's all different now. But back then, it was like, man, I can recall the things that I ended up aspiring to be and wanting to be were based off of my in-person interactions with Dwight White, with Jerome Bettis. These were my with some of the, and it's so funny that it was so many Notre Dame guys because Ray Zellers is somebody. I got close to these guys and I started realizing that they're just like me. And once I realized that they were just like me, then I allowed my work ethic to carry me to where it was that I was going because I realized that if I worked my ass off, I could get to where these guys that I've seen and have met are at right now. So the point is now if I start being exposed to the fact that these dudes are so sick, y'all this simple, I could be an owner. Let me get my mind right. Let me figure out what I need to do. Let me put my chips together. Let me pull my network of people together, and I'll be damned if you hold me back from being able to do it. And that might be one of the biggest fears of all of this and biggest concerns of all of this is you sit there and you think that these people are so removed from what we are and what we represent, and then you realize that they're just like you. They're just like us.
Yeah.
You're no different. Your bank account may read a whole lot more zeros than what ours is. Fine, so be it. Right place, right time. I don't know. Generation, legacy play. Who knows? But this is what I do know. If you read the rest of those emails, you are going to see more Neanderthal, like nonsensible, just silliness of dudes acting like kids that are adults. That were never cool when they were growing up, never got the girl when they were growing up, never was the best football player when they were growing up, and they're living their dream around dudes that I could sit there and dap up Brady Quinn, and Brady Quinn's my dude, and we're going to go get dinner tonight, or I'm going to go see Jay-Z tonight, we're going to go do this tonight, and we're going VIP, and we're going to go on the boat next week, and we're going to go on the plane tonight. Like, you are validating what you never were by being what you currently are. And I think that that's what those emails uncover.
There it is.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, listen.
I had a few things to say
about
that.
That's right. Listen, and it's good to have a few things to say. I mean, it felt like you had six things to say. Speaking of six.
Okay.
You want to look like $1 million but only spend a handful of bucks?
Well, how's that connected to
six? You can upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club six-blade razor. LeVar, how many blades?
Six.
Brady, how many blades is that?
I'm pretty sure it's six.
Damn right it is. Roberto. For our people, how many blades is that?
Six.
Damn right it is. That is six blade razors for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their six precision cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave with Dollar Shave Club stores. Yeah, that's Dollar Shave Club in store, so go to the store and find them. Welcome to the club. Coming up next, it is the first ever edition of In Case You Missed It, and it's yours right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern. 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here. Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here. Coming up top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now on FSR, we have a serious conversation, a contender for best team in the NFL. We will discuss that here coming up a little over 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. Right now, though, it is time for the debut edition of something we are going to start doing moving forward on this show. It's a little something called this.
Sometimes you can't get to everything in the world of sports or entertainment. Good thing the guys are here to bring you in case you missed it.
And away we go. Lee DeLapp, executive producer. Where are we starting here on this debut edition?
Guys, in case you were watching Sunday Night Football, you might have missed Game 2 of the NLCS, where the Braves hit a walk-off hit against the Dodgers.
Oh, boy.
That's the second night in a row. Saturday night, it was Austin Riley. Last night, it was Eddie Rosario. And now, the Braves hold a 2-0 lead on the Dodgers.
Wow. Panic Brothers. Coming out.
I was wondering why Birdo was so quiet today.
Quiet?
No, I mean, he's got on his L.A. What is that?
L.A. Dodgers.
Okay. All right. I was just saying they down 0-2, so I was just wondering if it was still reading out correctly.
Hey, Bert,
been there, done that.
Maybe one of them letters dropped off your jersey
By
or
the
something.
Way, how the hell it seems so obvious to me that the Dodgers were significantly better than the Braves going into this series. The fact that they're down 0-2 just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, that's baseball, man.
Playoff baseball, man. That's why we play the games.
Yeah, 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. That tells you the
story. They left a lot of guys on base.
Thoughts on Dave Roberts? Say, Roberto, you want to chime in on Dave Roberts here?
We talked before the show. The bullpen looks gassed. Like, the way he's managed that, I think, this postseason has played a role in that. Roberto and I were talking about that, but not good.
Yeah.
0-2 is not good. But if you're better than them.
But 3 straight at home. So
I'm about
we'll
to
see.
Say, if you're better than them, you'll come back. Yeah. You won't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Lee, what else we got?
You guys, in case you missed it, Lane Kiffin headed back to Neyland Stadium for the first time since 2009 as head coach, where his Ole Miss team defeated Tennessee 31-26. But in the final minute of the game, there was a 20-minute delay after Tennessee tight end Jacob Warren was stopped just short of the first down marker on a 4th-and-24 play, and the play was upheld after replay. That's when fans started pelting the field with bottles, glass bottles, plastic bottles, as well as some bottles with brown stuff in them, as Lane Kiffin put it. But he says he doesn't think they were wasting moonshine on them.
And a golf ball. Somebody hit Lane with a golf ball.
Yeah, he said he's keeping that one.
Yeah. Look, Lane Kiffin likes to stir the pot, and he likes to rub it in. And Tennessee was not happy when he left to go to USC. And, you know, they wanted to let him know that, hey, man, we don't forget. You know, we know what's going on there. And they got a little rowdy. But the people afterwards that want to grandstand and say, this is disgusting.
You know what, though? Here's the problem. Hey, Volunteer fans, okay? You've had so much time since that point to figure it out. And you're still in this position. So stop blaming Lane, okay? Because if you are blaming Lane, you know what it is? You're just jealous. That's what it is. You're just jealous that he moved on from you after 1 year. Stop blaming Lane Kiffin. Look in the mirror and say, maybe we're not the program we once were. There's no reason.
Wow.
The University of Tennessee should not be one of the premier programs in college football. And instead, you want to throw crap at a guy that you're jealous because he moved on from you. Go find another way. Wow. Go find another guy. Like, stop blaming everyone else.
My God. LeVar.
Fans just be feeling like they own people, man. I don't be getting it, man. How dare you? But the minute it goes in your favor, it's like, well, it's just business. Don't trip. You know, it's okay. It's just business. But when it goes against you, it's like they just feel like they own you.
But listen, some breakups are harder than others. And Joey Freshwater blew through there, and, you know, he made an impact. And now he's gone.
Some hearts assist there and knocks him out.
He definitely did. What else, Lee?
Guys, in case you missed it, the Giants are 1-5 after a blowout loss to the Rams, 38-11.
They're so bad.
Leonard Williams said he heard the boos from the Giants fans and understands they have a right to be upset.
They are a bad football team.
They are not good.
LeVar, your New York Giants are a bad football team.
I claim them. I played 1 year in the league, and it was in New York. I lived in, you know, Franklin Lakes. You know, hey, they're not good, and I don't know if there's any type of change in sight.
Is everybody gone? Is this just a
tear down? I don't know if the coach, the head coach is gone, but I would assume everybody else is gone. Gettleman, you know, quarterback,
Daniel
a lot of
Jones.
People. Yeah. A lot of people gone.
Yeah. It's not a good situation.
Good. It ain't looking good. No.
Yeah. But, you know.
Hey, at least Daniel Jones came back and was able to play. Knocked out last week.
That is a good.
I mean, that seems safe.
That's another debatable topic.
It's a miracle what happened with Daniel Jones.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.